Our readings from the Old Testament tonight all reveal that God is in constant relationship with the Israelites. First is the story of Abraham's almost sacrifice of his son Isaac. A whole sermon could be preached on this reading. Did Abraham misunderstand God's instructions? Or was this, as it says, merely a loyalty test? What this story of Abraham and Isaac indicates to me is God's deep relationship with Abraham and with Isaac, too. Our next reading from Exodus is of God delivering the descendants of Abraham and Isaac from slavery in Egypt, returning them to the land promised to Abraham centuries earlier. Again, evidence that the God of the Hebrews is relational. This God will come to their aid and is not a mere philosophical construct like those of the ancient Greeks, or a human-crafted work of art invested with supernatural powers, like the gods of the Egyptians and the Syrophoenician, both cultures surrounding them. No, the Hebrew God is distinguished by that of relationship from the very beginning, from the stories of God that began in the Garden of Eden. In our reading from Ezekiel, the prophet has finally finished with all of his oracles of doom and gloom, of which the first 24 chapters of his writings warn will be the result of the Hebrews' disobedience. By this reading, by the 36th chapter, everything Ezekiel has foretold has come true. Jerusalem has fallen, the temple destroyed, and the Hebrews once again driven out of the land which God had entrusted to them, dispersed and exiled. In this reading, Ezekiel shifts his prophetic gears and speaks of hope, foretelling a new exodus for these people, a re-return to the homeland. God will gather them from the corners of the known earth and return them to the land of their ancestors. And no longer is their salvation dependent upon right action, as the prophets, including Ezekiel, had proclaimed up to this point, a salvation dependent upon right behavior on their part. No, their salvation is now dependent upon God's action alone. God will first gather them and then cleanse them from the stain of following the gods of the culture that surround them. But most importantly, God will perform on them a heart transplant, a spiritual heart transplant, removing their old stone heart, hearts that were set on living their lives as they saw fit, impenetrable to this God who has always been wooing them, and replacing these hearts of stone with hearts of flesh, living hearts, hearts open to the infusion of God's Spirit that will enable them to be in relationship with God and follow the ways of God. And with that, God proclaims that finally, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I read a book written by a psychologist who worked with people who had undergone heart transplants. Now some, but by no means not all of his patients, but some had experienced changes in their personalities after receiving their heart transplant. He shared one story of a transplant patient in her mid-30s who received the heart of a young woman scheduled to be married, but was killed in a pedestrian accident right before the wedding. The transplant recipient's sister noted that her sister's personality had shifted following the transplant. Yes, the heart had given her a new lease on life, but the sister explained her sister had always been a frowner. But since the transplant, she was always smiling and laughing and had become a happier person, happier than she was even before her cardiovascular disease. Another story the psychologist shared was that of a man in his early 50s who received a heart transplant from a 17-year-old boy. The transplant patient reported that before his heart transplant, he listened to quiet classical music. But since his transplant, he had started listening to really loud rock and roll music. I don't understand the science that this psychology uses to support these patients' experiences. But what I do know is this. I want a spiritual heart transplant. The kind of transplant about which Ezekiel speaks. For with such a heart transplant, I would begin to take on the personality characteristics of my divine donor and be infused with unrestrained joy, humility, self-offering, and unconditional love. And this would truly be resurrection, wouldn't it?